Well, it's good to see you guys. My name is John Hutchison. I'm a pastor here at the Vineyard. If it's your first time here joining us, thank you for spending your morning with us. I'm going to start off by sharing just a quick little story. Yes, don't know what you said, but praise God. A quick little story here. So a couple years ago, I was working a job that I got off work around 1 o'clock in the morning. I was working facilities at a church. And this particular evening, I got in my car after my shift. It was a long shift, and I turned my car on, and of course, the gas light comes on, which is not ideal. So I just remember being super frustrated and driving to the gas station. And this particular gas station that I was going to, it was just known for having just a lot of homeless people at this particular spot. And I just was not in the mood to talk to somebody. I just wanted to get in, get my gas, get out. I didn't want to be bothered, right? That's just where I was at. And so I pull into the gas station, and sure enough, as I pull in, there's this man about 15 or 20 yards away from the front of my car. And we make eye contact. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe 50-50 chance, right, that I might talk to him or not. So I put my hood up, I put my AirPods in, I jump out of my car, I get the gas thing, put it in my car really quickly, jump back in my car. Whew, okay, made it. Sitting there scrolling on my phone, just trying not to make eye contact with this guy. Well, don't think that way. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? I remember sitting there, and then all of a sudden, like in my peripheral vision, right, the guy kind of starts walking closer to me. And he's like a bigger guy, had a lot of stuff with him, so he was walking towards my car. And next thing you know, he's between my driver's side door and the gas pump, just standing there. And there's like 2 feet of space, right? He's standing there. And I'm thinking, oh man, this is crazy. And the last thing I wanted to hear was the zzz, click, click, you know, from the gas. And next thing you know, the guy knocks on my window. He's like, hey, it's like you're done. Your gas, the pump's done. It's like, thanks, dude. Thank you. I know. Like, thank you. And a couple seconds, it was awkward. He's just staring at me, and I'm kind of staring at him. And I'm like, okay, hey, scoot over a little bit, kind of sizing him up a little bit to know what I might be getting into. So I jump out of the car, and as I'm putting the gas thing away, I just remember like thinking in my heart and praying in this prayer. I said, okay, Lord, let's do this, right? Because I knew that it was kind of a setup here. And so he asked me if I had any money. And I told him, hey man, no, sorry, I don't have any money, I'm sorry. And he kind of got a little frustrated. And I said, you know, but I don't have money, but I do have something for you. I can pray for you. Would that be fine? Could I pray for you? Amen. And again, he was upset, but he said, yeah. He said, sure. I asked him, I'm like, hey, do you know Jesus? He said, no, I hate Christians. I don't know Jesus. I hate Christians. I said, okay, well, I'm a Christian. And can I pray for you? Is that fine? And he said, yeah. So I did the Vineyard thing, and I said, okay, hey, open your hands, dude. Open your hands and just close your eyes, and do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder? And, you know, he said, fine. And he was a really, like, he was just had more of a, like, a rougher, like, he was just kind of a tougher guy. Like, his eyes were even, like, gray and black and cloudy kind of when I was talking to him. So his hands are out, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I just start to pray. I just start to just bless him, and I lead him into a prayer of salvation, He gets, yeah, amen. The presence of God starts to kind of rest on him. And he's standing like this, and he's kind of just like rocking back and forth like this. And it's just me and him in this parking lot. And then his mouth starts to mumble as I'm praying for him to be filled with the Spirit. His mouth starts to kind of mumble these words, right? Yeah. We would know that to be like tongues. And so I'm like watching this happen. It's more like this. I'm watching this happen. And I'm thinking, this is the craziest thing ever. He's swaying back and forth. It's just me and him. I'm like, man, if this guy falls over, I'm not going to be able to catch him. He's like 6'5". And what are people going to think when they drive by and see this, right? Just a bad look. And so he starts to sway back and forth. And then all of a sudden, he like goes way back on his heels, like he's going to fall. And he catches himself. He goes boom. And then he's like, oh, man. He's like, what was that? He's like, what was that? I'm like looking at him like back and forth. He said, man, I feel good. I feel good. I'm like, dude, like this is crazy. Like he's like, what was that? And when I looked at his eyes that were dark and gray and like gray and black, his eyes were the clearest, brightest blue I've ever seen in my entire life, ever. I'll never be able to get that out of my mind. Like he was completely delivered and set free. He got saved, filled with the Spirit, and he was just going crazy. And so I ended up giving him some information about our church and kind of let him know how we could get there on a Sunday morning and who to be in touch with and all that kind of stuff. But it was a very, very incredible experience for me, but really for him. It was a divine appointment. And I wasn't in the mood to talk to anybody. In fact, I was being really selfish and just kind of annoying. But then as the Holy Spirit nudged me a little bit and said, hey, there might be an opportunity here for you to talk to this man. And there was a divine appointment. And I really believe that God's bringing us, all of us, into situations like that in this next season, where if we would just yield to the Holy Spirit, be sensitive throughout our days, there's gonna be 800 divine appointments all over the room, right? As we just yield to the Holy Spirit. And so today I wanna talk about a little bit about what a prayer for boldness looks like in our lives as Christians. And before we do that, let me just pray really quickly and we'll get started. Holy Spirit, we just love you, Lord. We welcome your presence here this morning. Would you just increase, Lord? Would you set our hearts on fire again? Those of us who may have lost that passion, that fire, Lord, would you just set us on fire again this morning? Thank you, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so over the last few weeks, we've been in a series called Kingdom Authority, understanding that as followers of Jesus, we've been authorized to use his power, the Lord's power, to bring heaven to earth. We've explored the authority of how, the story of authority of how humanity lost the authority in the garden and how Jesus restored it on the cross. We heard a message on intimacy with Jesus and how that helps us live out our authority and how we're to submit and to live under the word of God as our true ultimate authority. And now today I want to talk about how we can see the kingdom of God flow through our lives as we align our prayers with the authority God has given us as believers. Now prayer has many different sides. I like to think of prayer like a diamond. Like if I had a diamond in my hand the size of like a baseball, right, we would all be able to see it. And depending on how I held it up and kind of moved it around, we would all see like a different angle of the diamond. And that's kind of like prayer. Prayer has a lot of different sides to it. And one of the sides of the diamond of prayer that I want to look at today is a prayer for boldness in our lives as Christians, all right? So I grew up in the church. I was familiar with all the church stories and going to church 3 times a week, all that kind of stuff. And I really am thankful for that. I learned a ton of valuable tools and resources. Who else like grew up in the church? Like you went to church all the time. Yeah, right on. So very, very thankful for that. And that spiritual growth continued as I got into college. In fact, it was May 3rd, 2013 when I was filled with the Spirit and my life just, I mean, I was just on fire for God, burning, passionate for Jesus. I was praying for anybody that I could pray for. I was praying for all kinds of things, right? I was just on fire. I was crazy. And I was dating my wife at the time and she would be able to tell you it was kind of hectic how crazy I was, right? But sometimes you do crazy things when you're in love, right? Hopefully you caught that. But I mean, that's just where I was at in my life. I was on fire for God. And I kept on going to church. I kept reading my Bible. I kept spending time with the Lord, doing all the things I needed to do. But over time, as my life got busier and as my plate got more full and all these things happened, the overflow of what was doing in here, that overflow, as I was telling other people, that slowly and quickly just kind of dried up over time. So for some reason, and I could dig into it a little bit more. I'm sure I could sit down and really kind of dig deep. But really what I think happened was sharing my faith as a Christian, sharing my faith with people just started to become a little bit inconvenient. And for whatever reason, I couldn't spend an extra 5 minutes from dropping the cart off at, you know, the thing to go into my car, right? To talk to somebody about Jesus. It was just getting inconvenient. Life was happening. I had to get from A to B. That's kind of my personality. It's just go, go, go. And as a Christian, not being willing to be inconvenienced for the gospel, to be sensitive to the Spirit, that will actually snuff out your fire for God. It'll be sneaky, but it will happen. Because next thing you know, you just start thinking about yourself and you just forget about the message of the cross and what the cross actually means to you and to me. And I had just become too familiar with the gospel. And you know, it reminds me of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always." That's like the main thing that we're supposed to do as Christians, is to go out and to tell people about the transforming power that the gospel has had on our life. Like, that's what it's all about. And I think today, God's going to reawaken us to that desire to tell people of how we've been set free, how we've been saved, how we've been transformed. Somebody told everybody in here about Jesus to get you here. Like, something has happened in your life where you were changed and transformed. Maybe you were set free or delivered of something, right? That message, I really believe that a strong evangelistic tool that we have is your testimony partnered with the gospel. Like, those things together is so powerful. Don't ever think that, I grew up in the church, right? My testimony, I don't know, for a long time, I thought it was just kind of basic, like standard testimony, good kid, got saved, da 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 da. No, it's powerful. Your testimony matters. And people need to hear why you live the way that you live. Amen. And how Jesus changed your life. And so I just started to think I was good. Like, I was a good kid. I wasn't getting in trouble. I was a good religious Christian guy that would go to church on Sundays, read my Bible, but I was just numb to others. I was numb to sharing. I lost my passion. I lost my fire. I lost my hunger, my desire to tell other people why I lived the way I lived. And that was just starting to bother me. For whatever reason, I just was not okay with that. And I thank God for that. But, you know, a lot of us, like, we've heard the stories. A lot of you guys could call out every single story in this Bible, right? I mean, we know the stories, we know the prayers, we've been to the services and all these things, but yet some of us are just comfortable. Comfortable Christianity. Jesus didn't die for comfortable Christianity. And it's not, there's no shame. Like, I was there. I'm just saying today, we're gonna leave that behind. We're gonna leave the comfortable Christianity here. And God's gonna awaken your heart again. He's gonna remind you what he set you free from, how he saved you. And I know for some of us in here, there was a time where we were more passionate for God than we are maybe in this moment. And again, that's okay. Like, hear me. In Romans 8, it says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. There's all kinds of different stories and testimonies in here. No matter where you're at today, nothing can separate you from God's love. That Jesus died for our sins. He took all the junk, all the addiction, the gossip, the immorality, all of that, the anger, the rage, all of it. He took all of that on himself and died so that you and I could live in total union with him, to live a life of freedom. In John chapter 10, it says, the thief comes, Satan comes, to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. So if any of that kind of stuff is going on in your life, that's coming from the enemy. But then it says that Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly. Like, there's an abundant life that we can live as Christians, that we're called to live as Christians, that's available to us to live as Christians, the abundant life. And it's not talking about, like, you have, you know, all the cars, a massive house, you go on all these vacations. That's wonderful. That's incredible. But the abundant life is the union that we have through the Holy Spirit with Jesus and the Father. Like, there's more. There is more to our relationship with Jesus. That's the abundant life. And we want to tell people about that as believers. And I love too, it says in Romans 8 that Jesus right now, in this moment, is seated at the right hand of the Father on the seat of honor, and he's praying for you right now in this moment. You can't do anything about it. He's praying for you right now. He wants you to experience the fullness of what he paid for. And he is so ready to respond to the prayer for boldness. And that's what I'm gonna get to, but I feel really good about this. Wow, thank you, Lord. So today, many of us are gonna leave behind, like I said, that comfortable Christianity. And there's a passion and a fire that Christians have that no one else has. That revelation of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God on the inside of you, nobody else has that. So do you just keep the fire inside of you and you're like, oh, this is the way I'm gonna live? No way, you don't do that. You wanna tell people about it. You wanna tell people of the fire of God on the inside of you. Amen. All right, so we're gonna talk about the prayer of boldness today. So prayer, simply put, again, is conversation with God. We know that. And we know that intimacy, identity, and the word are important in kingdom authority. And then, as I mentioned, we're gonna talk about an aspect of prayer. But when you pray, you learn to hear God's voice. That's why we spend time with God. We learn to hear the voice of God. We become sensitive to his voice. And when we hear his voice, we feel his heart. Feel God's heart in prayer. And when you feel his heart, you experience the compassion that God has for others. And then that compels you to respond. And so, I know a lot of people in here, you feel compassion in certain situations. Like, that is an incredible gift. Do not turn that off. Don't shut that down. Like, when you're out and about and you sense your heart just goes out to somebody, that's incredible. In the Gospels, we see where Jesus was moved with compassion. When he was moved with compassion, it said, I read a book called Compassion by Henry Nouwen. It's a fantastic book. It said, like, when Jesus was moved, it's like deep within him, like in his guts, right? It was moved with compassion. And then the kingdom came forth, right? So when you feel that, that's an opportunity to partner with the Holy Spirit. It's like a freebie, really. Okay, we're gonna spend most of our time in Acts 4, but I'm gonna just walk through Acts 1 through 3 really quickly to get us to 4. But first of all, the book of Acts was written by Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And in Acts, the church was mobilized. And that's what I really feel like God's doing today. Like, he's mobilizing his church. I mean, even just look all across the country, right? What God is doing, because he's mobilizing his church. And we want to see God encounter our city here. We need to be mobilized to continue to partner with the Holy Spirit and to see people saved. So church is mobilized to prophesy, do miracles, and preach the gospel of the kingdom, which is the good news. The gospel means good news. It's the Greek word euangelion. I believe that's how you say it, which means good announcement. Gospel, good news. So the gospel is good news. Praise God. The resurrection strengthened the faith of the early church when they saw the risen Christ, when they saw his victory over death, victory over his enemies. When he came forth from the tomb, a faith was born that no one could take away. So they were passionate for God. All right, Acts 1. Jesus appears to his disciples after the resurrection. He instructs them to wait in Jerusalem for the promised Holy Spirit. He then tells them they'll receive power to be witnesses to the end of the earth. And that's when the disciples gather in the upper room to pray. Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. It fills the disciples. Peter then goes out and boldly preaches to the crowd, explaining that Jesus is both Lord and Messiah, and that his resurrection fulfills God's promise. And about 3,000 people were saved and baptized. This is an awesome story. Pentecost added power, okay? So the power of the Holy Spirit descended and gave them boldness and courage to go do what God asked them to do. How many of you love just a fresh infilling of the Spirit? You love a fresh infilling, yes. Thank you, Lord. Well, that infilling of the Holy Spirit, one of the main reasons that we're filled with the Spirit is that we can go out and to tell people about Jesus. I love coming in here, and I love Holy Spirit nights and all these. I'm the first one, right? I want to be the first one to get a fresh touch. But at some point, we got to go out and tell people about God. Like, we could probably spend the next 2 hours in here. Everyone could walk around here and everyone would just talk. Everyone would get saved and we'd pray for everybody. And then what? Like, we got to go out, right? We have to take what happens in here and go out. And a simple prayer for that, a simple prayer that you can pray every day is, Holy Spirit, fill me in a fresh way today. Fill me, Holy Spirit, with your presence so that I can partner with you as I go throughout my day. Make me sensitive, Lord, to the opportunities that you're giving me. Like, this is what we're meant to do as Christians. This is the overflow of our life. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John encounter a lame man begging at the temple gate. Peter declares, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. The man is instantly healed. The miracle draws a crowd, and Peter preaches again, urging the people to repent from their sins, revealing the power and the authority found in Jesus' name. Peter and John, they were bold. Boldness was a marker, again, of the early church. Boldness was a marker. Okay, after they healed that man in Acts 3, Acts 4 happens, and they get arrested. Peter and John are arrested because of what they just did. They weren't supposed to do that. They get arrested. They get thrown into jail. The next day, they get taken out of jail. And then they get tried in front of this council, basically saying, why did you do that? How did you do that? What's going on here? Like, you're not supposed to be praying for people and healing people. Tell us what happened. And Peter says, who's filled with the Holy Spirit, he has the authority that comes from having faith in Jesus. Peter says, this man was healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one whom you crucified and who God raised from the dead. He proclaims that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. The leaders are astonished by their boldness and their courage and the authority that the name of Jesus had and the boldness that it gave them to stand their ground. I love verse 13. It says, recognizing that Peter and John were ordinary, untrained men who had been with Jesus. I love that. I mean, raise your hand if you're an ordinary person. Come on, look at that. Yes, ordinary people who've been with Jesus. Don't underestimate how much power you have when you spend time with Jesus and how people can see that, see that you're different. In fact, everyone wants to go out and make a stand for Jesus and go proclaim the gospel, but you want to make sure that you still look like you've been with him. Don't go and have people scratch their head like, wow, he's talking about Jesus, but he lives this way. He's talking about Jesus, but I'm being argued into the kingdom. We've all made that mistake, right? I've been there too, but we want to make sure that people can look at us and say, wow, something's different about them. Oh yeah, it's because they've been with Jesus. And they had nothing to say. The council had nothing to say to them. So they let him go. They're like, okay, well, we can't deny that this man just got healed. So you guys go. So Peter and John leave. Verse 23, after being released, Peter and John, they returned to their own people, the community there. And they reported everything that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. This is just crazy. Like, I always think of like this, how, like a movie or something, right? They come back to their group after having been healed a man, preached to people. Thousands of people are being added to the kingdom at this point daily, right? And so they get thrown in jail. They get released because nobody could say anything about what they did. They come back to the community and they tell them. And all these people are just standing there listening like, wow, holy smokes, what happened? I can't believe that. And you would think maybe people would be kind of afraid or nervous, like, oh man, I don't know if I could do that. But Peter and John they're great, but I don't know if I could do that. That's not how they responded. We see in verse 29, they responded with prayer. They all gathered together. They didn't respond in fear. They responded in prayer. And they prayed, well, we'll just read it. Verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. So like prison, all that stuff. Don't preach Jesus. Don't speak the gospel, right? Threats. And grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. So they realized what Jesus called them to do was preach the gospel. And they're asking God to grant them, to give them like a gift, to gift them boldness to speak your word. To grant them the gift, grant them what is needed, what they're meant to have, which is healing, signs and wonders, right? The power side of things. Verse 30, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through your name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they gathered was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That's crazy. For these believers, when they faced pressure and faced persecution, their first instinct wasn't to retreat and to panic and fear and like be afraid. No, that wasn't it. Their response was to pray for more boldness to do what God's asked them to do. What's even crazier is God answered their prayer instantly. What was it about them that caused God to so dramatically answer their prayer? Like, what was it? Was it the mission that they were living for? Was it how well they got along in their community and doing all these right things? I think what it seems to be is that the mission that they were living for, God was backing up. To preach the gospel, to share Jesus, to testify, to heal the sick. And God was somehow provoked. He was moved by that somehow. That he shook the whole place, filled them with the Spirit, and gave them boldness. There was a purity in which they were asking. And we see that they asked for more boldness. And it's not that they didn't have boldness. It's not that they didn't. They've already seen so many crazy things in Acts 1, 2, and 3. A lot of cool things happened. Your faith would go through the roof, right? But they asked for more because they knew that by asking for more boldness, the Lord would fill them with a fresh fire, a fresh passion to preach the gospel and to do what Jesus commanded them to do. And if we're gonna live for Christ, we need to ask Jesus for boldness, to speak the truth, to love people. Now watch your prayer life go through the roof when you align your prayers with the will of God. Watch your prayer life go through the roof when you align your prayers with the will of God. And it's God's will that we share the gospel with people. Like he was backing up their prayers. Jesus said, go therefore with the authority I've given you. Go, make disciples, right? And then he fills them and gives them boldness to do it. And there's power. We always want God to answer our prayers and all of our needs. We want all those things answered. But what would happen if we did what God asked us to do first? He wants to answer your prayer. He really does. But, right? Go out, tell somebody about the change that's taken place in your life. Okay, back to the text really quick. Verse 30. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through your name of your holy servant Jesus, we should expect these things to happen when we proclaim the truth of the gospel. Signs and wonders serve the word of the gospel. They point to how valuable and precious the gospel is. And when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word with boldness. The Lord responded to them by filling them. They asked for boldness. God gave them boldness. He fulfilled their prayers. Shaking, Holy Spirit infilling, boldness. That gave them even more courage, as we see throughout the rest of the book of Acts. And there's just nothing better than a fresh infilling of the Spirit to do what God's asked us to do. And the Lord will respond to this. He loves you. He will always fill you to declare the power of the gospel. Don't ever doubt the love that God has in his heart for the lost. Because remember, we were once lost. We were once far from God. We were living a life of sin. And then we encountered Jesus. And he changed our life. We can't forget that. We never want to forget that. Now, I'm not expecting every single person to go out in front of the State Farm Center or go to Costco with a megaphone. Actually, it'd be a nice, there's a ton of space there, but I'm not expecting that, right? I'm not expecting that. But boldness, it might look a little different for you. And now, we all are called to different spaces and we're called to steward the sphere of influence that we have. Now, boldness and courage for some of us might look like this. It might look like you've done the work personally to make sure you know where you stand when it comes to who Jesus is and what the gospel means to you. so that when the opportunity comes for you to share the good news with someone, as the Lord opens the door, you can do it with boldness. Like, that's being a good steward of what you have, is not like trying to dodge people as they, right, as you sense God leading you. Just yield to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to force anything to happen. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. And as you're filled, as the Lord gives you boldness and courage, and as you're led by the Spirit, when somebody is in front of you, you're not gonna be afraid because you're led by the Spirit. If you try to do this in your own flesh and your own strength, that's when that fear comes, because you're in your head the whole time. You're like, oh man, there it is. There they are. I gotta go talk to them. Oh man, here we go. I'm getting closer. Hope they walk away. Okay, good, I'm out, right? We've all done it. That's being led. That's you trying to do it. But if you're just led by the Spirit and you just talk to somebody, you just say, hey, do you know Jesus loves you? As you're paying for your food at the whatever, right? You know Jesus loves you? You know he cares for you? Hey, let me invite you to church. God's doing something incredible in our church. Just invite them. And maybe you're just, I love this. I heard someone say one time that if you share Jesus with somebody and they do not get saved, he's like, you tagged them. You tagged them. The Lord will get them. So don't, it's not a win, lose, pass, fail thing. It's being faithful to what God has called us to do as Christians. I also heard someone say that, I was telling this person, he's a pastor or whatever, and he sees a lot of people saved. He sees God do a lot of cool things. And I was just telling him what God was doing at our church. I was like, man, July 9th, boom, this outpouring of the Spirit happened. We've just been experiencing this incredible move of God at our church. People are getting saved, they're getting baptized, the Spirit of God's here. We're seeing signs and wonders. I'm just telling him all this stuff that's been going on, this incredible things. And he's totally engaged, he's loving it. He's like, man, this is incredible. That's incredible. He said, do you wanna know how you keep the anointing in your church? It's like, yes, I do. He said, you wanna know how you keep the anointing in your church? He says, you have to take it outside of the church. You have to take it outside of the church. And I was like, holy smokes. I was not expecting him to really say that, but I'm thinking, wow, if that's the case, if that's how we steward what God's doing in here, oh, I feel the Lord, this is wonderful. As we steward, how about we just stand? Can we just stand? As we steward what God is doing here, thank you, Lord. We want to be so touched and transformed by the anointing, by the Spirit of God that brought us into salvation. We want to be so touched by that power, that love, that zeal, that desire. For the second we walk out of this building, we can't wait to tell somebody. That's what we're meant to do as Christians. That's the call on our life. You could be called to the business realm or the sports realm and all this stuff, but you're called to be a Christian and to share Jesus with people. That's the first call. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Increase your presence, Lord. You know, one of the things that I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but some of us in here, we're very compassionate, very, very compassionate people. And that is an incredible gift. And I really believe that if you walk in that kind of compassion, and you know what I'm talking about, where you just your heart breaks for people, you're pulled by people's needs. If that is you, I wanna invite you to come up here to the front. I'm gonna say a couple other things here, but this is the first one. If you are a very compassionate person and you know that's you, come to the front. When Jesus was moved with compassion, signs and wonders happened. The kingdom just burst forth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You guys can just put your hands out. And I'm just gonna pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you. I really believe that God is going to release miracles, signs and wonders through your hands. You guys can get all the way up to the front, stretch out to the side. Holy Spirit, fight your way up here if you need to. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your fresh infilling. Just in your own words, everybody in the room, just ask God to fill you with boldness. Ask him to fill you today. He wants to hear it come out of your mouth. Holy Spirit, fill us. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our church. We thank you for this season of outpouring that we've been experiencing. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with boldness, with courage, to tell people about the power of the gospel, how we've been changed, how we've been set free, transformed. We've been delivered. Thank you for your courage, Lord. We want to yield to you, Holy Spirit. We want to turn when you say turn. We want to go when you say go. You're so faithful, Lord. Lord, I ask for a grace for every single person up here to see signs and wonders, to see miracles. When they see somebody with a cane or with crutches or in a wheelchair, that they would say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I tell you about Jesus? Thank you, Holy Spirit.